Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Presidente, welcome to The Balance. It is so good to have you along. We got a great show for you today, as always. I hope everybody's had a great week. Before we get started, though, I'll tell you what, it has just been one of those great, crazy weeks in football. Incognito, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Also, last night in the Truck Series, if you missed it, Erik Jones, picks 17 years old, picks up a win. How about that? 17 years old, winning in the Truck Series. We're going to talk about that coming up in our race series. Also, Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, 1070 The Fan, is going to talk with us a little bit about IU picking up their first win last night. Of course, the undefeated Pacers. We're going to be talking about that as well. And coming up at the bottom of the 10:30 hour, we're going to be talking some fantasy football. Myself and Axel are going to get you geared up for that. And Ed Kratz is going to be joining us here around 10 o'clock. Going to be talking about, you know, this whole thing with Incognito. You know, I will tell you this. I was one of those guys at the very, very beginning that said, you know, I don't know that I believe this. I don't know what kind of a story this is. How can somebody actually bully a 350-pound man? Well, the more that I hear about this story, the more I read about it, and the more research that I do on it, I'm absolutely appalled at the actions of, well, maybe it goes deeper than Incognito. And you know, certainly I think that it goes deeper than the Miami Dolphins. It's not just the Miami Dolphins. They're in the spotlight now. But as we found out in Bountygate, if you will, with the Saints, that there was it's a lot deeper. So the NFL probably needs to do their own research into this and really dig into this and see what's going on. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My digit 917-889-8516. If you want to get in touch with us today, we'll be glad to talk anything sports with you. Coming up here in just a minute or so, we're going to be talking some racing. We're going to be talking about Erik Jones picking up a Truck Series race out there in Phoenix. And you know what, I appreciate Walter Cox, pit spotter for ESPN, giving us some really good photos, and we shared that on our fan page. If you missed that, then it's up there on our fan page as well. So, again, if you want to talk sports, NASCAR, racing, give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back right after this. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente.
Hey.
that fast, and that's the way I've always been. I'm a hot rod running, fast, strong gun, and an ace hitting up my sleeve. Well, I'm a wanted man, yes I am, they ain't never ever gonna catch me.
I'm on the run, on that open road, and that's me.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit, with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
Don't stop believing.
That slime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rich.
Don't stop.
Oh. I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark with Michelle Presidente. My digit's 917-889-8516. I do believe we have a caller here. I'm not exactly sure who this is. Hi, caller. Who's this? Are you there, caller? Well, maybe we don't have a caller there. I thought that we had a caller there. 215 area code. Would love to talk with you. Let me see if I get him back here. Are you there? Are you there?
Hello,
I'm not sure.
Tom.
Yes. Hi, who's
hey,
this?
Ed Kratz.
Oh, hi, Ed. We're a little bit off on the time there. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought maybe we were going to get you in exactly 1 hour from now, but that's okay. We can do you now, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Yeah, 1 hour from now, I think I'll be in a different time zone. I think it's 11 o'clock. It'll be 2 hours. I'm not exactly sure how it all works.
You know what we do here on The Balance, and you know this very, very well. Ed Kratz, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ed Kratz. 1 hour early. We're so glad. You know what? Hour here, hour there. It doesn't matter. We can move things around. Let's just talk a little football then. We were going to talk into some NASCAR guys. Eric Jones, 17 years old, wins the Truck Series last night out there in Phoenix. We were going to talk a little bit about that, get into our college football talk, and then go to you. But we're going to just move things around a little bit because Ed Kratz is the one and only Ed Kratz. Buddy, we appreciate you joining us. And I know, and you know what, I know I you and I talk a lot, you know, via text and throughout the week. So I know you do a lot of traveling. And you've been in a lot of time zones this week. Wow, the Philadelphia Eagles have traveled a lot the past couple, 3 weeks you guys have been out in San Francisco. Now, let me ask you this. When you wake up in the hotel, you got to grab the paper to see what city you're in. I've been there. I know what it's about.
Yeah, it can get a little crazy, that's for sure. I think I figured it out by the time the season ends. I've been in 15 different states following this team, and that includes layovers, which is where I am right now. I'm in Detroit, Michigan, waiting for my flight to board here to Milwaukee, and then I'm driving up to Green Bay. So it gets a little crazy, but, you know, it beats working for a living, right?
Hey, man, it beats working for a living. I couldn't have said it better myself. Ed Kratz, you know, we joke around about it, and I appreciate Ed joining us. Ed was scheduled to join us. We just had a little bit of a time zone difference, so we're going to go ahead and do our football segment. Guys, but stick around. We will get into racing here. We're going to swap for Michelle, producers and stuff there in doing the board. We're just swapping football and racing, a little housekeeping there.
I'm sorry about that. I only have a few minutes to tell you.
I'm going to grab it. I know you only have a few minutes. I know you got to get up there to Green Bay to follow the Philadelphia Eagles. We do want to talk about the Eagles. What a great game they had last week against Oakland. But what I do want to talk with you about, most importantly, we always love having you on, but one of the biggest things I wanted to have you on, I want to talk to you about this incognito. You may have heard a little bit about my opening dialogue. You know, at the very beginning of this story, on the onset of this story, I thought, can a 350-pound lineman, whatever it is, get bullied by a team? And, you know, we think about bullying. We think about things that go on in high school. But the more I read into it, the more I read into the enormous bills. You know, I'm all for a rookie. You're a rookie, earn your stripes, per se, carry my pads, carry my helmet. Hey, maybe even buy an expensive dinner for us, okay? I get that. At some point, somewhere along the way, there was a break. The more I learned about this story, there was a huge breakdown. And what I think, you know, even though the Miami Dolphins and Incognito is getting the publicity, and you're in the locker rooms a lot, and we certainly know the Philadelphia Eagles is no chump team. So I'm sure that a lot goes on. But I wanted to get your insight about this. How deep is this? And is this, and I guess when this story broke, were you like, I'm shocked, or you like, I'm not shocked? Give me your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I heard your intro, Tom, and it was very good. You mentioned the New Orleans Saints bounty gate, and we saw how deep that went. And, you know, my thoughts when I first heard about this was, you know, I think everybody reacts differently to bullying, whether you're 350 pounds or 120 pounds. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, the more we learn, Incognito may not have acted alone. There were some other teammates that may have been involved as far as, talking about his sister and some of the, you know, unfortunate things they were saying about her. Are you going to fight half the team? Are you going to stand up and, you know, tell everybody to stop and, you know, you sound like a baby? I mean, it's just a difficult situation to put any person in, whether you weigh 350 pounds or, like I said, you know, you don't weigh 350 pounds. And, my initial reaction was, you know, shame on Incognito, shame on the Dolphins for allowing this to happen. It almost sounds like Incognito was given a sort of code red. Mm-hmm. You know, from A Few Good Men, that movie, A Few Good Men. They told him to toughen up Martin, and maybe this was the way he thought he could do it. And, you know, if that's the case, then I don't see how Jeff Ireland, the general manager, or Joe Philbin, the head coach, keep their jobs through this. It's just a very bad situation. And then they have Incognito on the leadership council. Every locker room, the Eagles included, have, a leadership committee, guys in that locker room who are responsible for policing it, because you'll never see a coach walk through a locker room, at least when the media is in there. You'll never see any coaches in that locker room. So it's up to the players to police it. And you have to have strong people on that leadership council to make sure things are running correctly. I know the Eagles have some leaders in wide receiver Jason Avant, D'Amico Ryans is a linebacker. And I talked at length to a lot of players about this. And, you know, they make sure veterans buy dinner every Thursday night for the rookies. That's what the veterans do in the Eagles locker room. But to put someone like Richie Incognito, who has a very bad history, and a history that keeps coming out, the deeper we get into this, you know, with him on a golf course at a team function golf tournament, kind of making unwanted advances on a female volunteer who sounds like may have been paid off to keep her mouth shut now and not talk about it. To put him on this leadership council after a situation like that, it's just unforgivable to me. And, you know, I hate to see what's going on with Martin right now. It almost sounds like he's gone from a victim when this thing came out almost into the pariah himself, and that's unfortunate. But that's my views, Tom, real quick there.
Well, no, and I know we got very limited time with you. And, you know, one of the things that you look at just – incognito. It's been one thing after another. In fact, here in Indianapolis, Tony Dungy had the opportunity, or at least looked at drafting incognito. And quite frankly, Tony Dungy said, you know, he said this even on the national news this week, I had the opportunity to have incognito, and we passed on him because of his situation. Here's where I'm at with this. I mean, you look at this whole thing that happened with the golf outing, and that happened prior to him becoming in the leadership of the team. Now, I've been to golf outings. You've been to golf outings. I understand that you're spread out all over the golf course. Perhaps maybe teammates did not see this happen. But I can tell you, one thing. And here's the thing, as we're learning more and more about this story, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, the issues with the volunteer at the golf outing where he did some inappropriate behavior, we'll just word it that way, and we'll let your imagination go, and anything that you can imagine what the imagination was. So the ownership, the GM, whoever put this in place, she said, I can't talk to the media at that point. She said, I couldn't talk to the media because of a confidentiality clause. Now, I can only think of one reason only, Ed, why you would sign a confidentiality clause, and that's for the jelly beans. Apparently, they offered her a lot of jelly beans. So not only did the Dolphins' upper management know about this, they also gave money. They wrote a check to this lady. And yeah, on top of that, after the fact, the Miami Dolphins team decided, in lieu of all of this, and we'll just, that one incident alone, we're going to make Incognito a leader in our team. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I know you say the veterans buy the rookies dinner, and I'm all for rookie orientation. But let's dig into this a little bit deeper. Now, I know you talk, you follow the Eagles, you're traveling with the Eagles right now up to Green Bay. You spend a lot of time with them. You spend a lot of time with players outside of the coach's time. Talk with us about the locker, and I've been in many NFL locker rooms, and we talk about the NFL. It's not just the NFL. I've been in MLB locker rooms, NBA locker rooms, especially covering local sports here in Indianapolis. I've been there. I get that, and I know what it's about. But I know you spend a lot of in what I mean by intimate time, just alone time, that the coaches aren't around. You see things that maybe other people don't see. Inside the Philadelphia, and you know, everybody knows that the Philadelphia Eagles is a blue-collar team, and you better be tough if you're going to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. But so I'm going to use your team as an example. Does this go on, or do you really think that this is just isolated to the Dolphins? I don't think that it is. I think that, unfortunately, when you've got rookies, they think, hey, you know, I've worked so hard to get to this level, I don't want to do anything to screw it up. I don't want to do anything to screw it up. So they basically do as asked, and they become, as we're finding out, incognito. He became a personal ATM to a lot of these players, not just Incognito. As bad as Incognito is, and I hope the NFL makes an example out of him, but we can't say this was just Incognito. Your time in the locker room, do you get feeling that this is a Dolphins isolated thing? Does this happen with the Eagles? Is this an unwritten rule?
Well, you know, I think it does happen in other locker rooms, but I think a team is only as strong as its leaders. And, you know, how, like I said earlier, they police that locker room. And, you know, you have 53 players within a locker room and a very tight quarters, too. You know, a locker room isn't this grandiose palace place. You know, a locker room is a pretty tight area, very confined area. and not everybody is going to get along. You know, there are a lot of different personalities involved, and you know, some of these players come from colleges that, you know, probably competed against each other as rivals on the college field, and you know, maybe there's a history there. And you know, and I look at the Eagles situation when you have this quarterback issue with Michael Vick and Nick Foles. I know for a fact that well, Vick's camp, and there are people in Nick Foles' camp. But you can't let that destroy you. You have to work as, you know, one to win. And it depends, like I said, on that leadership group and how badly these guys want to come together and work toward that one goal of winning. And the team that manages that best is the one that is ultimately going to win. You know, I just think that, you know, it does happen in other locker rooms. I don't think leadership is as strong. I don't think it's ever gotten to this point, though, where, you know, someone – you know, just abuses another player verbally, you know, calls him up. I mean, who does that? Who calls him up and just leaves that scathing voicemail that Incognito left? You know, I don't know if that goes on. I have not seen that in any locker room. Or, you know, I know that, like I said, I know that there are different factions of people with Vic and Foles and who they want to start. You know, that exists. But I think that, you know, you have to have that strong leadership framework in place. And that was the Dolphins' mistake, putting Incognito on this you know, on this leadership committee that they put together. It was just a bad, grievous mistake.
Well, I tell you what, it goes a lot deeper. And we're obviously just beginning to scratch the surface, and I think it's just a matter of time. And I said this, and you know, just like we saw with the Saints a couple years ago, when all of this with Bountygate came out, the Saints were made an example, and I fear, well, I don't really fear, I hope that the Dolphins are made an example, that this can't go on. Now, believe me, I'm all for rookie orientation, and maybe some hazing to a degree. But this goes way beyond the locker room, way beyond, hey, let's make the rookie buy us an expensive dinner. I mean, this goes on, and I, you know, I don't want to get into all the gory details, but now there's things surfacing in this report that, you know, how do I say this? Because this is a family show. I want to say this very, very, very politely. Incognito pulled brain fart there for a second. Pulled him aside and said, before you have relations with any woman, I have relations with her first. That is over the line, Ed. Over the line.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, Incognito does not have a very good background. You know, apparently he, you know, from what I've read too, is he was bullied when he was a younger child. When he was in middle school, I think, you know, he was always considered overweight, heavy, and he got picked on. And his father said, if you don't stand up for yourself now, you'll get picked on your whole life.
No, go ahead, Ed. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm sorry. No, go right ahead, Tom. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, and I'm going to use you as a personal example. You're a father. You're in this locker room, and you're in this environment. We know very well, just from our conversations, either on mic or off mic, your son is a wrestler, a football player, certainly has aspirations. Now, you know, we hope that he gets to that level, but certainly at this point in his life, you're coaching him on what, how to handle certain things. Do you talk about this? Hey, when you're in the law, if you get to the NFL or when you get to college, because I think you and I both know your kid is bound for college to play for some team. When you get to college and you're in the locker room, there are you stand up for yourself. How do you coach? How do you coach your son? Let me put it that way.
Well, you know, we've actually talked about this issue this week, and I've asked him, like, you know, he's in 11th grade in high school right now, and he's playing football, and they're in the playoffs, and they played last night. But, you know, I asked him, you know, when you were coming through, what happened to you? Was there anything that went on? And he just said all they made you do was carry the water, carry the, you know, the dummy bags when you were 9th and 10th grade. You had to carry that, you know, maybe carry a player's pads off of the field, and they took them off. But nothing that rose to the level of any sort of physical contact or verbal abuse, nothing like that. And this is according to him. Now, he said, you know, when he's, you know, now he's in 11th grade and he's having the freshman and 10th graders carry his stuff. And he says, I feel bad doing that. You know, because I'm not that kind of person that, you know, because I'll carry my own stuff. I'll let them collect the gear on the field, but, you know, I carry my own gear off the field. So, you know, we have talked. You know, I just think you just have to respect other human beings, you know, physically, verbally. You can't admonish people and you can't pick on people. That's the bottom line. And, you know, that's what I try to tell him is, you know, you want to treat others like you want to be treated. You know, that's the golden rule, right? So, you know, I try and remind him of that when I can. And this was a perfect opportunity with the Incognito and Martin situation to talk about it with him. And that's what we've done.
Well, so, that certainly would. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I gotta run.
That's what I was trying to say. You guys had a great game. I wish we had more time to get into the talk with the Eagles.
I do, too.
And I know you're on your way with the Eagles right now. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, thanks so much for joining us, buddy, and we'll get all your stuff on social media.
Well, maybe next Saturday we can do it. Or, you know, I know the Eagles have a little run of home games coming up, and they have a bye. So that should free up some of my Saturday time.
Well, I hope you get some home time there, buddy. You have yourself a safe trip,
and I
hope you have another great week like you did last week.
All right, thank you. So we'll talk soon. Bye.
All right. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, I really appreciate Ed giving us a call. And you know, me and him are friends, and we talk a lot off the mic. We just talk during the week, and he's just a friend of mine. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about this with Incognito. You know, he's in the locker rooms every. In fact, right now he's traveling with the Philadelphia Eagles up to Green Bay, and you know, he really is on somebody else's schedule. Took some time to call and talk with us. And I wish that we had had time to talk with him about the Philadelphia Eagles. What a great week they had last week, guys. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're back on schedule. We're going to be jumping into college. Walt Forber of KZ Country down in Jasper going to join us, as well as Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan going to be talking about IU. Big IU win down there. We're going to be bringing up some college football, guys. That's right. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And as always, we like to have fun right here on The Balance. But you know what? You don't ever have to worry about Incognito type of actions. All you got to do is go to Facebook, search The Balance, and hit like. Look for the Bearded Minions. We'll be right back right here on The Balance Radio Network.
That's right. This has got to be the greatest record of the year. Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com. Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Head in the game, head in the game. My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life?
wish I was fast. Oh no. What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second!
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again!
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous. A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy!
Those guys are awesome!
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
This is Elizabeth the Geek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we got to circulate this on radio.
It's time for
trying to do a show here.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
Well, Elizabeth, we're looking at week 10, and you went 7-3 again last week, so good job. And guess what? Guess what this week is? It's special for you. What is it?
A birthday.
That's right. How old are you going to be?
Six.
That's right. Well, let's jump right into it. Let's head out to the Pac-12 in college. Do you go for the UCLA Bruins or the Arizona Wildcats?
Arizona Wildcats.
The Arizona Wildcats. Moving into the Big Ten, we have the Illinois Fighting Illini or the Indiana Hoosiers.
Indiana Hoosiers.
You're going to go with the Indiana Hoosiers. Another one, we have the Iowa Hawkeyes or the Purdue Boilermakers.
Hawkeyes.
The Iowa Hawkeyes. Into some ranked games, the big game of the week, we have the number 13 LSU Tigers versus the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide. You're going to go with the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide. On to the final game in the college ranks, we have the number 23 Notre Dame Fighting Irish versus the Pitt Panthers.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Let's go Fighting Irish. Woo-hoo!
Moving on to the NFL. First 1 o'clock game, we have the Detroit Lions or the Chicago Bears?
Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. Another 1 o'clock game, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Green Bay Packers?
Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, gonna go with the Eagles on that one. Daddy would have picked the Packers. In the 4 o'clock game, we have your man, Peyton Manning, in the Denver Broncos versus the San Diego Chargers.
Broncos.
You're going to go with the Denver Broncos. Moving on to Sunday night, we have the Dallas Cowboys or the New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints.
Going to go with New Orleans Saints. And finally, for Monday night, we've got a real cream puff of a game. We have the Miami Dolphins or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Miami Dolphins.
All right, and who picked those?
Elizabeth the Greek. Make sure to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek. And make sure to like me on Facebook.
Oh. Happy birthday.
And happy birthday.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek. We always love having Elizabeth the Greek on. I'll tell you what. You know what? She might only be, I guess she's 5 or 6, according to her birthday. But we always enjoy having her picks on. I'll tell you what. We're going to jump right into this. We got going into college football. got thrown off a little bit of a schedule there because Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, talking with us. Appreciate him calling in and talking with us about the locker room environment with the NFL and talking with us about Incognito. And you know what he said with the Eagles was, hey, you know, the veterans actually buy the rookies dinner. So we'll see what that happens. So I'll tell you what, though, it's college football Saturday. Joining us now is from down in Jasper, KZ country, in a high school voice of high school football down there. We'll talk a little bit about Jasper. What the heck happened with Jasper? Beat my nephew with the Rice Panthers. Also, Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, and Mr. Pete LaFuchsia, who happens to be the producer and father of Elizabeth the Greek. So we'll start with you. Walt, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Good to have you. You know what? We're going to get to that Jasper Rice game last night. I was debated or not after Jasper beat my nephew in there with the Rice Panthers. I thought, oh, no, they had such a great season. And obviously we're getting into the state championship games with high school football. We can talk about that a little bit also. Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan. Matt, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Good. And you know what? I want to talk also. Larry Bird got his own statue outside of your alma mater last night, and we posted some pictures on our fan page. Go there and check that out. Great opportunity. I tell you what, you know, maybe Larry Bird is Indiana State's most famous alumni. And also joining us now is Pete LaFuchsia, stand-up comedian, sports guy, and producer and father of Elizabeth the Greek. How are we doing, Mr. Pete?
I am doing great. And to clarify your question earlier, she is still currently 5. On Wednesday, she turns 6.
There we go. I knew it was between 5 and 6, and you know what? She's been doing picks for us for, what, is this the second year? I believe so. Since she was a...
She's been doing it since she was 2.
2! See, time flies when you're having fun. We enjoy
having... It started out as a joke, and it started out as a joke on my sports show, and it's just been going ever since.
Well, everything starts out as a joke with Pete LaFuchsia. Also, stand-up comic travels the nation giving those one-liner jokes. Guys, well, let's get right into this. And we want to get into some college football, but I want to go across the dial here on some high school football talk. And you know, I was wanting to put together a high school football special, but I tell you what, sometimes you just get so busy, it's hard to put all the connections together. So we're just going to do just a real quick recap here in Indiana for our Indiana audience. I know we're a national show, guys, but just bear with us for a little bit. We're going to get right into college football here in just a moment on College Football Saturday. We're starting with you, Walt. Jasper against Rice. Great win for Jasper. Not such a good night for Rice. I tell you what, Rice had a great season. My nephew plays with them. I follow them very, very, very closely. I'm from Evansville. I grew up in Evansville. I went to Castle, though, so, you know, I didn't play for Rice. I was in special teams, so, you know, maybe I didn't get the notoriety. But my nephew is a big boy, actually, a very big boy, and played for Rice. So real quickly there, I know that's down there in your country, Walt Ferber, KZ Country, down in Jasper, and also the high school voice of Southern Indiana, Jasper and Rice go head-to-head. I think a lot of people thought, and I'm not just saying this because my nephew plays for Rice, but I think a lot of people thought that Rice would actually pretty much take this game.
Well, it all depends on what side of the fence you're looking at it. The rankings, Jasper ranked 6th. Rice was honorable mention, but Rice, you're right there, Tom. They have had Jasper's number the last several years. Last year was a heck of a ball game. Jasper had the lead for the entire ball game down to the last 9.1 seconds when a 34-yard field goal ended up winning the game for Rice, 31-30. Jasper changed their entire point of attack this year looking for the Rice game last night. More of a diversified attack this year. Nolan Aaron's the quarterback, the coach's son, throwing a lot more. And they threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at Rice last night. In the past, they've been known to be cautious. A couple of big fourth down plays for Jasper. They actually went for it one time, 4th and 10. Got a 29-yard pass play to their big tight end. but they basically reworked everything in order to beat Wrights themselves last night. And you know, like I said, if you look at it down on the hill in Evansville, I'm sure they thought that Wrights would be the favorite. But you look up here in DuBois County, and I think that Jasper probably thought they had it gone pretty well. It was a good night, Tom, for DuBois County in general, because not only did Jasper beat Evansville Wright 17-9, but Southridge, which is on the south side of DuBois County, upset 2A top-ranked Evansville Modern Day. They held on to win that one 21-19. So you could say in DuBois County in the last 13-14 hours or so, between Jasper and Southridge, there has been a lot of celebration going on.
Well, absolutely. And joining us also is Matt Hicks of 1070 Fan, who does a lot of high school basketball. We're getting into basketball. High school football coverage. What a fun time it is in this time of year, especially, you know, in Indiana and across the nation, I'm sure. But here in Indiana, we got high school games all over. Cathedral had a great game last night. Rebuff had a great game last night. 1070 had great coverage, as well as WTHR and their operation football. And I tell you what, Brownstown Central 62 bullied up on them. What a game that Brownstown Central game was, Matt.
Well, there were several great games, and you mentioned the excitement, and I think with the addition of the extra class this year, along with the new rule that with the competition rule that if you've won two in a row, you move up, it's just really added a lot to this year's tournament, and it'll add a lot going forward. But, you know, I look at 3A and I see West Lafayette. You mentioned Brebeuf. There's some great teams in some of the smaller classes this year. I'm actually fortunate enough to do the 3A sideline coverage for the IHSA radio network this year for the state championship game. So I've been having my focus on that class a little bit more than the others. But this is a great tournament in six different classes, and you almost at this point, yeah, there are favorites, but you really don't know who's going to win at this point. It's going to be a fun ride here these next 3 weeks.
Well, also joining us is Mr. Pete LaFuchsia, stand-up comic. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background about Pete. Pete has a strong background doing play-by-play in high school football. No stranger to that. Follows it very much so. I kind of see where his comic career is going to take him right now in different stuff that he's involved with in radio, taking a step back from sports. But I know one thing, up there in northeastern Indiana and Fort Wayne area, you've been covering high school football for a long time. And so, Pete, as we look at the high school football state championship, what are your thoughts?
Well, what we got to talk about last night, the only overtime game in all of northern Indiana, it was Fort Wayne North who won the SAC title outright for the first time since 1988. There are several players and even a couple coaches that weren't even born the last time they had won the conference championship. They won against the perennial powerhouse in the SAC, and that's Fort Wayne Snyder. Last night they both took it to overtime, Fort Wayne Snyder eking it out 17-14, so that one right there is good. And one of the other guests mentioned earlier about champions moving up and all that. I think that is actually starting to turn out to look good, because in 3A up here, we had Fort Wayne Concordia against Fort Wayne Lures. Fort Wayne Lures was going for a state record last night of 26 consecutive postseason wins, and they actually lost 42-21 against Concordia. So moving up to 3A may have actually started jumbling that up. I haven't looked at any other to see if some of the other previous state champions that were moved up won or lost, but it's turning out to look good that way. Other teams that are just amazing, everybody. Carmel, I mean, we had Carroll, Fort Wayne up here. Everybody was looking at them. They're tearing it up. But Carmel, man, you can never count them out on anything. They came up here to Fort Wayne, and they just death jobbed them 38-7. So pretty much we've only got a handful of teams left. And we had 12 to start out in the whole northeast Indiana area, and we're down to just a handful, like five, maybe six. So almost half of them wiped off the map with that.
Well, we appreciate everybody joining us from across the state talking about some high school football. Guys, you got to look at, you know, Fountain Central. You look at the Bloomington South, the Bloomington North. What a game that was, 21-24. Fantastic game. And, you know, we look at these high school, we see high school basketball. We talk about Carmel against Fort Wayne, 38-7 out there. And, you know, Center Grove, Southport, Brownstown Central, as I mentioned earlier, Tri-Central, 32-0 against Clinton Prairie. Who ever heard of Clinton Prairie? 34-0 on Concord against Elkhart Central. Very, very tight game. And I want to talk with you guys real quickly about this East Chicago Central Gary West game. We'll start with you, Matt Hicks. What a tight game that was. And we look at East Chicago Central. They have the number of every team inside this state.
Yeah, that's a ball club right there. When you look at Class 4A and you look at the remaining groups, they could easily find themselves in the championship game. And that's a team that I think that if you would have said that to start the season, you might have raised your eyebrow. There are several teams going like that at this point. How about Terre Haute North? They've had a great last few seasons in the MIC conference. Now they're not in the MIC. They're in 5A. They're playing. I would say it's probably fair to say they're playing equal competition now compared to what they've been stuck with in the past by playing all the Indianapolis schools, and now here they are sectional champions. So there are a lot of, I guess you'd say, surprise stories if you'd have looked at it before the high school season started.
Well, we're joined now by Matt Hicks, 1070 fan, Walt Ferber, KZ Country, Dunn and Jasper, and Pete LaFuchsia up in northern Indiana. And I know all of you guys cover high school football in your own neighborhoods, in your own neck of the woods. And certainly with Matt and Walt, you guys do this every weekend, Friday Night Lights. It goes on. So as we look at southern Indiana and we talk about what's going on in southern Indiana, Walt, talk with us, break us down on the upcoming championship here, and we'll get into some college football talk. I want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity to cover their region. We didn't get a chance to put together our normal high school football special, so we're just going to kind of push this together with college guys. We do have a little bit of extra time on the bottom half of the hour here if you guys could stick around. So go ahead, Walt, talk with me about Southern Indiana. We talked about Wrights, and, you know, I joke about Wrights because my nephew played for them, but, you know, we talk about Evansville Modern Day, but now we look at Jasper, and that is exactly a team that Jasper is a team that you follow and certainly do play by play for as well down there in KZ Country. Jasper, where do they go from here?
Jasper will be on the road, and they'll be at Columbus East it will be Friday or Saturday, I presume maybe Friday night. They're coached by Bob Gaddis, who at one time was the Evansville Wrights football coach, and I'm familiar with him. He coached my youngest son on the North-South football all-star team. A great offensive mind, and those guys are tough year in and year out. They're ranked at the top of the 4A poll, so that will be a stout test, some pretty good team speed on that Columbus East Olympian team. Southridge, kind of a nice story. Southridge will be on the road. They will be playing the Paoli Rams. Now, that's a tie-in to our Dubois County area here. Brian Balsmeyer, the head coach of Paoli, was a Southridge High School graduate as he graduated back in the early 80s. And he also has Jasper ties because for 5 years he was a defensive coordinator for the Jasper Wildcat football team and was defensive coordinator back in 2001 when Jasper won the 4A state title that year. So both teams are going to have daunting tests. Jasper on the road heading into the regional, and I'll be back in kind of my old stomping grounds. I did play-by-play for a year at Tri-WY in Columbus, the year that Blair Keel won the championship there at Columbus East, so it will be kind of nice getting back home and getting back to that area and seeing some of my old friends from back there. And Southridge and Paoli, you know, that's going to be a great ball game, and I'm sure will be an extraordinarily emotional ball game for Coach Balsmeyer Paoli, who still has a lot of family in the Huntingburg area. So those should be two outstanding football games. Just also looking in the area last night on our family of stations, we had top-ranked in 1A Linton Stockton against the Perry Central Commodores. Linton Stockton winning that one 42-9. They rolled up 384 yards of total offense in that ball game. So a pretty good power pack of football down in this area, kind of especially when you get into the lower classes. But Jasper will be a little bit of an underdog against Columbus East, and I think Southridge may be a slight favorite over Paoli, but both should be outstanding football games.
Well, we're talking with Walt Ferber at KC Country down in Jasper. We're talking about some high school football. We're going to get into this college football segment, guys, because I know that's what we're going to talk about here. We're a national show, but we love to talk about our kids in high school football. A lot of fun it is. You know, our producer, Michelle Jones' parents, I think her mom went to Columbus East, her dad went to Columbus North. Fun rivalries there. I went to Castle. So it's a good football school. So we get into basketball. Although we can talk high school sports all day long, we're going to get into some college sports because hey, we're a national show and we got to spread the love around, guys. So let's get right into this college. Let's start with, you know, we're going to change it from college football Saturday to college Saturday now because we've got to talk about basketball getting underway last night against IU. So we'll start with you, Matt, and then we'll move around the clock here and talk about that IU game and talk some basketball. And we'll get into some big football games. And really, I am really disappointed with where Purdue's at. So we'll get to that right here in just a moment. But, man, IU last night, pretty – we want to say, hey, they should have won last night. I mean, it was a game they should have won. I don't think anybody was surprised by the win. But it's good to see IU basketball back out on the court.
Well, it is, and I think you're right. If Indiana loses any of these first four games, they've got more problems than anybody actually thought. I mean, let's be honest about the situation. You know, you're looking at Chicago State. I know Belmont's coming up, Stony Brook. Not to slight those ball clubs, but in Indiana should win those games, and they should win them comfortably. Last night, interesting that it wasn't on television. I thought that was kind of interesting. You can only find it on Big Ten.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a year after being the preseason favorites to be the national champion, a year later their first game is not on TV. I thought that was kind of an interesting
If it makes you feel any better, Matt, I listened to the entire game on one of your other stations, 93.1 WIBC. I know you guys on your station were running the Pacer game, so I did find it on 93.1. And you know what? I don't know. Something about IU basketball on the radio is better than watching it on television, but I look for it. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought maybe it was an AT&T U-verse thing. So, Walt, we look at IU last night, opening game. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, these are the games they're supposed to win. They're tune-ups. IU a little bit of a question mark. I think they'll be pretty good. I think they're ranked 23rd or 24th right now. And they got a batch of new people coming in. And we'll be seeing a lot about how Yogi Ferrell and Sheehy do. But I think it'll be another good year. Maybe not national title aspirations like we had last year. And I would concur with you and Matt Hicks on that. That we're an IU affiliate ourselves. We've been carrying IU sports for over 50 years at WITZ and WQKZ, and there's nothing better, in my estimation, than listening to Don Fisher do a ball game, whether it's football or basketball. And I know a lot of people, you talk about it being on TV, there's a device now that you can sync up that radio play-by-play to TV. And I think a lot of people do that just to be able to hear Fish do the IU basketball game and be able to see the picture simultaneously.
Well, absolutely. You want a fun drinking game, drink every time Don Fisher says the word contest.
Yeah.
All right, Pete LaFisha, any thoughts on IU basketball opening up? We're going to get into this big game. Talk about IU and the Fighting Alumni. I tell you what, I'm excited to see IU and IU and Illinois go at it, both 3-5. Illinois at IU, going to be a great game. Pete, give us your thoughts on IU opening basketball last night, and then the segue into this big, big game, Illinois, IU. What is big, big in our region? Regionally, it's big game.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Illinois, I think, should be considered somewhat of a rival. At least I grew up in Northwest Indiana, so when we thought of rivals for Purdue and IU, we would think Illinois, whereas like where I live now in Northeast Indiana, people consider Michigan kind of a rival and all that. I think it's what part of the state and what you're bordered on is what they consider a rival. But last night against Chicago State, I didn't even know Chicago State had a basketball team. So, I mean, them showing up, that should have gave them 25 points right there. So it was probably a close game. I mean, some of these brush games, as you say, to get that, this is where the, maybe the bettors in Las Vegas need to give them, it's like, okay, oh, Chicago State, okay, they've got to ride a yellow bus, not a flight. We're going to give them 25 points, and they go from there.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be a good game. And, you know, we're going to get into some of the Southern National talk. And we love Indiana, so we got a lot of regional stuff going on here. But a good game down there in Indiana today, Illinois against IU. And also I want to mention while we're talking about our regional talk, remember you can catch our encore show on Indiana Talks, www.indianatalks, from 3 to 5. And, of course, you can find them on various different apps, and you can find them on Live 365 and TuneIn and iHeart, all of those other different apps that you might have. And I do also know that they're getting their own app, and they're testing that out as well for iPhone and Android. Hopefully, they're telling me that that'll be available next week. Catch our encore presentation between 3 and 5. You get to hear all of us talk about this all over again this afternoon between 3 and 5. Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, talk with us about Illinois and IU. Great game, great matchup. I don't know if it's a must-win for either one of these teams, but I think if we want to look at must-wins, it is a must-win for IU. IU has to win this game.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, in reality, and I don't think Kevin Wilson is telling his players this by any means, but in reality, the bowl chances for IU are somewhere between slim and none when you consider they have to win three games between Illinois, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Purdue. However, for the program, this is a win at home you must have, and I agree with you there. I don't see how Indiana gets past five wins, but stranger things have happened. You never know, and you have to set yourself up in position. I think also it's important to look how Indiana comes out after the disappointing loss and the closing seconds last week. I think it's a situation where you want to get that out of your head right away, come out strong, and quite frankly, I think everyone would agree, beat a inferior team. Illinois is a team that hasn't won a Big Ten game in quite some time, and Indiana should win this game, and you're probably right. It's, for the program, a very important game.
And we're talking with Matt Hicks and also Pete LaFuscia and also Walt Ferber, as he mentioned, with KZ Country down there in Jasper, but also an IU affiliate. Matt Hicks's network is also an IU affiliate. Now, Walt, when you look at IU and you look at this game, you guys will be carrying it down there on WITZ down there in southern Indiana. You look at this game between IU and Illinois. Must win for IU, I think so, as Matt just alluded to. But if you were to give some of the keys to the game and some of your thoughts to this game, IU-Illinois, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, if you're looking at it from Illinois' standpoint, it's been a long time since they've won a Big Ten football game. You know, when you just get down to philosophies, you learn how to win and you learn how to lose, and Illinois, at least for a while now, has not been able to get over that hump. IU has one of the most prolific offenses in the country, and they just got to stop shooting themselves, in the foot. Had a big comeback last week and figured out a way just not to get over the top. I don't know if it is a must game for Indiana. I would almost say, Tom, last week was the must win game for Indiana because they win last week. They really control their own destiny as far as playing that 13th game, getting those extra practices, and getting to a bowl game. You know, you're heading up the ladder with that loss last week. As Matt pointed out just a moment ago, with the remaining IU schedule, there's, you know, we could play Ohio State 100 times and probably not beat them this year. You've got some wins that you can get. Purdue is obviously a winnable game. Illinois is a winnable game, but finding that sixth game, I think, to get to a bowl game is going to be difficult. But, yeah, if they entertain any hopes at all of playing an extra game, getting those extra practices, and getting a bowl game, they have to win today.
We're talking with Walt Ferber, Matt Hicks, Walt Ferber of KZ Country down in Jasper, Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, and Pete LaFuchsia. Guys, we do have to take a break. We want to continue this college football. I want to talk about Alabama. I want to talk about Oregon. I want to talk about more of the national appeal. Can everybody stay with us? Walt, can you stay with us?
Sure.
Matt, can you stay?
Yeah, I can hang.
All right. And Pete, you got to go or you got to stay?
I've still got a couple more minutes. I can hang around until about maybe 10 after.
All right, guys, we'll be right back right after this on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Temp, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper told by the trees. Until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon-quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin. Don't stop
believing. That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Don't stop believing.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
Doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say
his head on straight, he's going to play a long time on Sunday afternoon. I mean a long time.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. If you're not a Balance minion, all you got to do is go to Facebook and search The Balance. It's right there. The bearded minions are right there. And you know what? I was listening to the break and the spot that we played for Anchorman 2, the legend continues. I tell you what, I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, and I love Anchorman. I'm excited to see Anchorman 2. That's my male juvenile humor. Joining us, though, is Walt Ferber from KZ Country down in Jasper, Indiana, as well as Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, and Pete LaFuchsia. Guys, we're going to jump right into some college football talk, or Anchorman talk, whatever you want to do. Matt, are you an Anchorman fan?
Oh, my goodness, yes. love that.
You got to admit, that's one of Will Ferrell's best attributes. I have talked to people who thought that maybe I wasn't that impressed by the first Anchorman, and I'm not going to watch the second one. I have to say to them, what are you, nuts? What are your thoughts on Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues?
Well, listen, I think, you know, what is the old joke about, you know, Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Money? But, you know, I think in reality, if they can come up with a good story, and it sounds like from all the previews we've seen, it looks like the story moves forward, and they give the opportunity to have some of the same jokes with some new jokes. And I think, you know, you're familiar with the characters, and it's a good time. Why not? You know, I think a lot of times we try to overthink our comedies. Just have fun. And I think the Anchorman, the first one was just a riot. So,
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and that's the thing about comedy. You don't have to think about it and just have fun. And speaking of comedy, we're gonna let Pete do a shameless plug. Sports guy by nature, been doing sports and radio here in Indiana for a good number of years, but has had the calling to do stand-up comedy. And guys, let me tell you, if there's anybody that has a dry sense of humor, if you like dry humor, and if you like to watch stand-up comedy, Pete will keep you in stitches. So, Pete, I know that I don't want you to ruin any of your jokes here, but Anchorman 2, come on, you got to feed something. You got to write some material for that, buddy.
Well, I think it's not a bad idea. If I was to choose any of his movies to have a sequel, that would probably be one of them up there. Personally, if I had to pick one movie of his, I'd like Step Brothers the best, because there are so many jokes that I laughed at that people didn't. There were jokes that I laughed at so hard, and everybody's like, "Why are you laughing?" I go, "You just don't get what he just said." So I'm forever pausing, stopping, and going, "Okay, this is why this is funny." They're like, "Oh yeah, that is funny." So that's a great one. Personally, why they have not jumped on top of doing a second Talladega Nights? There were rumors that they were going to do one called Bristol Days and make that a sequel. I don't know why. Maybe it's NASCAR doesn't want to jump on that, or they're like, okay, we've made fun enough, so we'll see how it goes. That's the one right there. If I had to choose, I would go for that one to be a sequel made. But, again, I like the fact that they did move the storyline. They're making him a divorce his wife, because I'm like, okay, how is that going to work? There were so many questions I had in just the previews. They've actually answered several questions, so...
Well, I tell you what, we could talk about Will Ferrell all day long, and Pete LaFuchsia, I know that you can't share a lot of your material on our show because we're a family show. We would say politely that your stand-up comedy is a PG-13, but I would say that it's a little bit past that. But check out Pete LaFuchsia. What's your website again? PeteLaFuchsia.com. FunnyLaughs.com.
No. ComedyPete.com.
See, I was right there. I talk sports, but I love talking with Pete. Pete's funny, and I tell you what, if you ever get a chance to go catch him on stage, well, if you wear your Phillies on your sleeve and you're going to get offended, he's probably not the person to go watch, but he's a lot of fun. Pete LaFuchsia, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to talk some college football, guys. Are you still with us, Peter? You got to go.
I got to run.
I knew you said that you were very, very limited on time today. Pete, real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and, if they want to catch you anywhere, where can they find you?
ComedyPete.com. You can also friend Elizabeth, Facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
All right, Pete, we appreciate you joining us. All right, guys, let's get right into this college football talk and get to some national college. We're a national show. We appreciate everybody joining us. Our minions, guys, you're what makes it happen. So we look at on the college football scene there, Matt and Walt, and we look at Alabama. We look at Oregon going down this past week. Let's break that game down. We'll start with you, Matt. Oregon bites the dust. I don't know that Oregon's a national contender anymore.
Well, I wouldn't think so. You know, it's funny when the undefeated lose late, all of a sudden the one-loss teams look more attractive again. And I think you're probably right. If everybody were to lose, which at this point I think would be surprising, even as crazy as November gets in college football, I think Oregon probably played themselves out of a championship appearance. But you look at it, if Alabama were to lose, if Florida State were to lose, if Ohio State were to lose, where would Oregon find themselves? I think they'd find themselves behind Stanford. They're in the same conference because obviously Stanford beat them. So when you look at those one-loss teams, if they all get one loss, you'd like to think if Stanford runs the table, which they have a couple of games left that are interesting, and they'll have a Pac-12 championship game potentially against another top 15 team. You'd think Stanford would sneak their way back in, but I think you're right about Oregon. Stanford's got their number. It's just a bad matchup for them, and Stanford was able to hold on.
Well, absolutely, and Stanford's no joke at all. Walt Ferber from KZ Country down in Jasper, Indiana. Walt, as we look at the national scene and we look at Oregon going down this past week, and a lot of people, like I just said, a lot of people probably think that perhaps they sunk their own ship.
Well, you know, and there's kind of a little irony here with everything you see going on with the Miami Dolphins and their offensive lineman situation, saying that the guy from Stanford isn't tough. You look at the Stanford team here, and they're an extremely tough and extremely physical football team, and it was a battle of styles. You had the speed of the finesse of Oregon versus the power of Stanford. And, you know, in the game of football, I mean, it's difficult, but sometimes it's very simplistic. Oregon found they didn't like getting hit in the mouth. It was a very physical game, and Oregon really didn't stand up to them. I would say it would be very, very difficult for Oregon to get back into the BCS championship talk right now with the loss. You know, you've got Florida State, you've got Alabama. Right now, Alabama and Florida State, I think, would be the two teams that would have a shot. You still got Ohio State that hasn't lost a game. And you had on that Thursday night also on kind of the JV card, you had Baylor and Oklahoma. And Baylor showed that they're a lot more than RG3 as Baylor came up with a win against Oklahoma there. So right now, if you're talking about BCS and national championship, Oregon would, I think right now, I have to jump over Alabama, also Florida State and Ohio State, and probably even Baylor. So with that loss, it's going to be very, very challenging for them to get back. And, you know, you look, and this is, I think, a good way to say goodbye to the BCS. This is the last year we're going to have to worry about that. Next year there's going to be four teams vying in it, and I guess if you want to extrapolate that out, it'd be kind of tough to look who the four teams are going to be. But I think Oregon, as far as the BCS title game is, barring some sort of miracle, they're not going to get there.
Well, absolutely not, and I'm glad you brought that up. BCS, bye, bye, bye. We can stop saying to BCS, get it right. The playoff, we've been talking about playoffs for a long time. Playoffs? Playoffs? But we've been talking about playoffs for such a long time, and it's like, can it be real? Can it be real? So, Matt, we look at this BCS standing. And so maybe they're going to go out with a bang. Maybe they'll get it right. Maybe they won't get it right. But how big of a shakeup did Baylor create inside the BCS this week?
Well, I think it'll be very interesting to see not only what happens today, because, quite frankly, I mean, Alabama is in a game they could lose today. I don't expect them to. But LSU has played Alabama very tight the last 3 years, however many, seven matchups in the last 3 years. They've played very tight. That could be a game that shakes up the BCS even more, and it'll be very interesting to see where Baylor finds themselves. Do they jump Stanford? I think is the real question. When you look at how it's going to shake out tomorrow, obviously Alabama, Florida State, likely Ohio State 3, And then the real question, who's fourth and fifth? Is Stanford fourth by virtue of being Oregon? Now, they'd be the highest-ranked one-loss team. And Baylor, being a good Oklahoma team, do they jump Stanford because they're still undefeated? I don't think they do. I think Baylor finds themselves fifth, and they continue to obviously have this need for a playoff, because if you run the table, you'd like to have a chance at the national championship, especially if you're playing in a power conference. I understand Northern Illinois, you know, could run the table at 9-0. Fresno State's another one. They're not in the quote-unquote BCS conferences. But if you're in a Big 12, a Pac-12, a Big 10, and you're undefeated, I think you should have every chance to play for the national championship. Luckily, that will likely be fixed next year.
Well, and we look at that, and we look at the playoffs. Playoffs is a fantastic. How do you think, Matt, when we look at a playoff situation in a playoff scenario, how do you think that a team like Alabama, now, well, hey, we're Alabama, they play LSU today, great, going to be a great game, and I agree with you, I think the Tigers probably have Bama's number, but that's going to go, I mean, really, our conversations, us sports guys, our conversations are going to change from, hey, they're Alabama, they're in the BCS, to, hey, Alabama's not winning enough games to be in the playoffs, and we're going to maybe start having January madness instead of March madness as well with football.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, how teams do their schedule, their non-conference schedule in particular. I think we'll have actually more weight than it does now. You're going to have a harder time scheduling a Division I AA school in these power conferences, because you're going to have to play teams that you're hoping are going to have a good season every week. And then when you go into your conference schedule, you're going to likely need to run the table in that to be one of those top four teams. Alabama is a team in the SEC that has a challenge, because you look at how it breaks down. If somebody in the Big Ten goes undefeated, somebody in the Pac-12 goes undefeated, and then somebody, a good team, we'll say a good team in the Big 12, also goes undefeated, all of a sudden there's only a room for maybe one SEC team. And a lot of people kind of thought last year that was, well, there'll be room for two SEC teams in the playoffs. I think when this starts, I think you're going to have to be hard-pressed to get more than one team from a conference in these playoffs. So you're absolutely right. All of a sudden, these conference games late against an LSU or if somebody sneaky good like Auburn sneaks up next year and they're better than people think they might be, all of a sudden, the task to get in is quite a bit harder than it is even now.
Well, absolutely. We're talking with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, and Walt Ferber from KZ Country down in Jasper, Indiana. Walt, I want to propose this question to you. We look at the BCS. Now, right now, you look at a team like Fresno State, for example, 8-0, can't get in the championship game. We look at Alabama, 8-0, same record, gets in the championship game. Now, and then we look at Ohio State, who's actually 9-0, but the Fresno State's not going to get into the playoffs. So, I mean, into the BCS Bowl championship game. Why is that? So it's a great thing that we're switching to the playoffs, but this year you got a team like Fresno State, 8-0, but doesn't have a shot at a national championship.
Now, I tell you what, that's a very good question. I tell you who I think has it closer to being right than the big guys, and that's the FCS. I know Matt Hicks, his alma mater, Indiana State. My youngest son, John, played 4 years of college football there. In the championship series division, it's not every team playing, but if you win a division, you win a conference, they have a multi-team playoff, and I think maybe in the FCS you do see a little more accurate portrayal of who the actual champion is. And I think before things are done, you may see a little more than four teams in that playoff, and I could see maybe at some point the large guys, so to speak, going with maybe up to a 16-team format that takes several weeks to do. You look at it, the money in that would be astronomical for the NCAA and for those large college football teams.
Matt, let me ask you this. Now, we start looking at the playoff. We start moving ahead and looking past this year. We start looking at the playoff scenarios. Let's just pretend for a moment that we were in the playoffs, and playoffs were we were getting ready to set the playoffs. Do we start looking at the seeding now, or do we start looking at a little bit later? Because if we look at the seeding, how are they going to do that? You look at Ohio State, 9-0. You look at Alabama, 8-0. Fresno State, 8-0. Northern Illinois, again, undefeated. Some undefeated teams, do they get the number one seed just because they're undefeated, or like basketball, maybe they get the number one seed because of record, but also because of region?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and I think from everything I've read, the idea is they will keep a BCS style of complicated computer polling thing together to be able to determine that. So, you know, if the season were to end right now, obviously Alabama. If you look at the BCS, from what I understand, Alabama would play Ohio State in one game, and then Florida State and whoever winds up number three would play the other game, whether that's Ohio State or somebody else. From everything I've understood, that's how it will work. This selection committee that will choose the four teams will then go into a closed room, much like the selection committee does for basketball, and then determine, with all this knowledge in front of them, who would be the number one, two, three, and four seeds in this. And then I think the really interesting thing is, where do they play? You know, do you have the Rose Bowl perhaps host Ohio State and maybe Stanford if they're able to jump into the top four, you know, that sort of thing, to maintain some of those geographic and bowl rivalries that we've seen so many times over the last several years. So I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered going forward next year. But I still, you know, I four is a good number, but I think you could solve a lot more problems if you had a six. If you gave two teams that were clearly what would be the old national championship game teams, if you gave them a bye and then let everybody else fight it out for a week, and let these teams rest up, I think you'd see an even more exciting championship game. And I must agree with Walt. You know, the FCS, they have this right. 1AA, they've done it for years. You always get the feeling when that season's over that, yeah, that's the legitimate national champion. I mean, you had every conference represented, and you had some wild cards, if you will, some at-large bids also make the field. And you get the feeling that when that tournament's over that, yep, that's the clear-cut national champion of 1AA.
Well, and I don't think we're ever going to see in this playoff scenario, and I know we're running out of time here, in this playoff scenario, I don't think we're ever going to see like we see in basketball. One of the great things about March Madness, outside of the fact that we enjoy filling out our brackets and putting money on it, but one of the great things about it, and we look back a few years ago, obviously it's expected now almost that they do well in the tournament, but we look at Butler a few years ago. Outside of Indiana here, nobody knew who Butler was. So I don't know that we're going to have that kind of Cinderella story in the football playoffs. I mean, that would be great. I mean, you know, that would be great if you could look at a situation where, you know, you people might not know who Texas Tech is, for example, but they're doing very well in football in their own right. Only 7-2, maybe a mid-level ranking there, possibly go into be a national champion. Now, that would be a Cinderella team if – right now, if the playoffs came together, guys, if Texas Tech could pull off a national championship. But I don't think, Walt, that we'll ever see a Cinderella scenario type situation in this new playoff scenario situation.
Oh, I agree with you there, and I think there's several reasons the differences between football and basketball. Basketball, you got the one and done where the really power schools are getting a lot of guys that are there 1 year and out. Well, a lot of these mid-majors, you look at Butler, they have had a couple of early guys out, but you've got most of the guys that stay for 4 years, and you get a lot of these mid-majors that have guys that play together over a long period of time, and in a game of basketball, you can have a team beat one or two good players. Also, in the game of basketball, the game can be swayed by one or two really, really good players, and that's not necessarily the case in football. You have to have depth. You have to have several good guys so that one person, you know, won't necessarily tip the balance. And that's why I think you see mostly year in and year out the power schools remain the power schools. You know, the Alabamas and the teams like that are able to recruit and get the best players, the blue chippers, year in or year out. And, you know, you have your Texas Techs and such that may get a few good players. But it's going to be awfully hard, I think, to have that Cinderella story you're talking about in the game of football.
Well, we're talking with Walt Ferber of KZ Country down in Jasper, Indiana, and Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Guys, I want to shift gears just a little bit here while we still have just a few minutes left with you guys. I want to talk about this. We talked with Ed Kratz at the very beginning of the show with this incognito, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Talked about, you know, how with the Eagles, a lot of times the veterans buy the rookies dinner. It's kind of a thing they do. But we're getting a kind of an unfiltered look, Matt, if you will, inside the locker room. Now, the politically correct thing to say in any team, whether it be the Colts or whether it be the Eagles or the Packers or whoever it be, that question is going to be proposed locally by everybody. How do you guys act in the locker room? So the political correct thing is to always say, well, we don't engage anything in to, you know, separate themselves from the Miami Dolphins. But let's not fool ourselves. This goes on deeper than what we ever realized. And I think, just like with Bountygate a few years ago, we're getting a very unfiltered look inside the NFL locker room. And we look at incognito, and we look at the situation with that. First of all, it sickens my stomach that this went on. At first, as I said in my opening dialogue, I thought, well, who can bully a 350-pound lineman, if you will? But it happens, and it does, and they're using him as an ATM. They're using him as, just there's so many things, and we talked about this earlier. There was a scenario, and now we're reading these reports where incognito, and again, I don't want to get into all the graphic details, but your imagination, let it go where it goes because it's going to be going in the right direction. But it pulls – incognito pulls him aside and says, hey, while you're a rookie – if you're to have any relations with a woman, I have relations with her first. That is crossing the line. Matt, I want to get your thoughts on this whole, and we do, and I know you do a lot with the Colts and inside the locker room, and we see that culture, but I think it's like, let's sweep it under the rug, let's not look at it. But now that we've sat back and we open our eyes, we're like, wow. So let me ask you this, Matt. You're no stranger to the NFL locker rooms and so forth. Is this a culture, or is this an isolated event down in Miami?
Well, I have to say, I've only been in the Colts locker room. I've never been in another locker room. I've been in some opposing NBA team locker rooms, Cavaliers locker room when LeBron played there, Suns locker room. I've never seen anything to this level. Yes, I've seen some joking around. Hey, Rook, put my clothes in the dirty clothes, you know, in the hamper, that sort of thing. But I've never seen anything like this. I've heard the stories of how, and my friend Joe Stasniak told me before, rookies with the Colts have to buy donuts for the team plane. I mean, if that's hazing, you know, so be it, but I think that's pretty timid. I've never heard anything to this level in all my now almost 10 years covering professional sports here in Indianapolis, you know, with the Fan and WIBC before that. I just have never heard of this before, and if it's happening, it's happening very quietly. I know that when Tony Dungy came to Indianapolis, and he's reiterated this week or these past couple of weeks, that he said, "Hey, we're just not going to do the hazing thing here. That's not going to. We're a big family. We're one unit. And when you start isolating guys, it just causes problems." I heard a story. And this is kind of the level that I think Miami's at and other teams are at. I heard an old interview, actually, believe it or not, on Howard Stern with Jeremy Shockey when he was a rookie with the Giants. Mm-hmm. And he was upset because he was made to sing before he had his lunch. And he was upset about that, and that was the Giants' form of hazing a rookie. I just think what Miami in particular, I don't know that you can, at this point, completely damn the entire team, but you definitely, it sounds like, can do that to Richie Incognito. I think they just went, like, not just beyond the line, but a mile beyond the line. I've never seen anything like that here, and I can't imagine I ever would. But I've never even heard rumors. I mean, you hear stories and this and that. I've never heard anything even near on that level. It's a whole other ball game. I just have to hope, as a sports fan, really isn't going on anywhere else.
Well, and you know, we talk about Richie Incognito and what's went on there, but I don't know that it's an isolated event, Walt. And I know maybe you don't cover professional sports, but you mentioned that your son played for Indiana State, and as parents, my son didn't play football, but he was involved in sports. As parents, Walt, we have to coach our kids to behave a certain way. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be a rollover chump. I mean, if trouble comes your way, deal with it. But at the same time, there comes a point when you have to stand up for yourself. And I think this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a player that's actually standing up for himself against insurmountable odds, Walt.
Well, yeah. You've got so many levels to this story, Tom. I think a quote I heard this week was, football is a very violent game, and sometimes we really don't like to see the way the sausage is made. I've been in locker rooms. I've been covering sports for over 40 years, and there is a code in the locker room, and I don't see myself as there being too many heroes in this thing. What happened, it was terrible, and Richie Incognito was basically kicked off several college football teams. This is his third NFL team. You know what you're getting when you get Richie Incognito. I think he was wrong, and I think you had maybe a case here where the coaches wanted to get Martin toughened up a little bit, and they went about it the wrong way. It's just really bad all the way around. Obviously, there is a line that you can't cross, and Incognito, a number of these Dolphins crossed it big time. But I don't think there was any way for the young man from Stanford to really get it done, because anything he did is going to be basically a violation of the locker room. And what I've been around with my son and high school and college teams that I've covered, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. For the most part, what happens in locker rooms stays in locker rooms. And that's, I think, a very – if you're a football player, they basically police a lot of that themselves. So I think that's an area that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg from. I think what happened in Miami was a horrible, horrible aberration. But I don't think we're ever going to really know all of this story all the way around. And what the sad thing about it is, I would be surprised. And if you talk to the to the Miami Dolphins people, they're backing Incognito more than they're backing the other guy. So,
right.
Like I said, this is a really hard story to get a handle on.
Well, guys, unfortunately, that's going to have to be the last word. As we know in radio, the clock doesn't wait for anybody. Matt Hicks, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and obviously 1070 the Fan, and any social media information you want to pass along to our minions, sir?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at Hickson05. I think I'm funny. You probably won't. That's okay.
Tomorrow, I think you're funny.
Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we'll have your first opportunity, well, your second opportunity to talk about the Colts game after Greg Rakestraw and Barry Krause. Jersey Johnny and I at 7 o'clock on 1070 The Fan and 107.5 FM, 1070thefan.com.
We're looking forward to the Colts game against the Rams. You guys do a great, great pregame coverage on the Colts Radio Network. We appreciate you, Matt, and you're always welcome here on The Ballot.
Thank you, Tom. Good to talk with you.
All right. All right, Walt from KZ Country down in southern Indiana. Walt, talk with us a little bit about your social media and what's going on in your sister stations.
Well, yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Walt Ferber. You can also find me on Twitter at Walt Ferber also. We're going to be having a lot of high school basketball coming up. That season starts with the girls next week. We'll obviously be at Columbus East for Jasper and Columbus East. And over the course of the year, we do about 150 to 160 live high school sporting events. So you'll see us out and about just about every venue across southern Indiana.
All right. My man, Walt Ferber, don't be a stranger here on The Balance. We look forward to talking to you again soon, sir.
And vice versa.
All right. Walt Ferber of KZ Country down in Jasper, Indiana. Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan of Colts Radio Network. Talking with us some college football. I appreciate them spending the last hour with us. I know it was a little bit longer than what we anticipated, but I enjoyed the conversation that we had with him. Guys, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get right into fantasy football. Huddle, Todd, the teacher, and Axel in our green room. Jared Calhoun can't join us. He's out in Washington, D.C. this weekend. But that's okay. Excellent. Todd the teacher. We'll be right back with Fantasy Football Huddle right here on the Balance Radio Network.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon-quality hair and read the news.
Don't stop.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
Don't stop believing.
Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Brick. I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
Oh, my.
Am I right? Say what?
Welcome back to The Balance, our last half hour. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I tell you what a great hour and a half, I guess, we've had. We started off the show outside of the racing. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about Eric Jones and winning the truck series out there in Phoenix. I apologize to my race fans that we weren't able to get all of that covered this week, but I promise to make it up to you next week. It's Fantasy Football Huddle, and waiting in the wings is Todd the teacher and Axel. Todd, are you there, sir? Or is it Sparky?
That's Sparky.
Oh, Sparky, I thought we had Todd. All right. Well, Sparky, you know, we're going to get to you right here in just a moment because I know that you always like to get us geared up for the Colts on all of our home games. Sparky, super Colts fan. You know, here's the thing about it, Sparky. You and Todd have the same area code, and I don't have your numbers memorized. Also, joining us is Axel in Fantasy Football Huddle. Week 10 matchup. We're getting things ready. Axel, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing swell, my man. How are you?
Swell. I'm nifty. Nifty! All right, guys, let's get into this. We're going to talk a little bit of Colts, then we'll get into this fantasy football huddle. Sparky, super Colts fan. Everybody knows Sparky. The downtown in his costume with all the Super Colts fans. It's good to finally have a home game again. It seems like we've been on the road for a month of Sundays, quite literally. Sparky, the Rams come into town. One would say this is a given win, but as you guys get geared up and you guys get ready for a big home game out at Lucas Oil, what's going on in your mind with the Colts minus Reggie Wayne?
Yeah, this should be an easy win, you know. I mean, the Rams are nothing really to, you know, deal with. I mean, they're an okay team, but I mean, the way we're playing, we beat, you know, three top teams. I mean, this should be easy win, and I'm curious to see. They say Trent Richardson is questionable. If he plays, he needs to have a breakout game. This needs to be the game where he gets 100, 150 yards. Because, you know, the fans are getting sick of it, wasted a first-round pick on him, and he still hasn't done anything. And if he plays this weekend, you know, he needs to get the 100, 150 yards. And who would ever thought that Donald Brown would be running the way he is? It's kind of like, you know, they're two switched bodies. You know, Donald Brown's running the way that Trent Richardson is supposed to be running, and Richardson's running the way that Donald Brown used to be. But now Brown is Brown's looking great, and it's just it's unreal. There's a lot of fans rather have Brown in there than Richardson now. But if Richardson goes back, he needs to have a big game.
Well, I tell you what, you know, one guy that knows just about every stat there is to know about the Indianapolis Colts is Axel. We're going to get into fantasy football talk here in just a moment, guys. If you got some lineup questions, you can give us a call, 917-889-8516. Chad, a.k.a. Axel, we look at the Colts, the Rams, the Colts without Reggie Wayne. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, we need to start playing all three quarters. It seems like we play down to the level of competition like the Dolphins and Raiders, or play up to the level of competition like the 49ers, Seahawks, or Broncos. So which Colts team, is this Colts team going to start playing from the first quarter? And it seems like here comes the fourth quarter, and then they go, oh, snap, here comes the fourth quarter, and Andrew Luck bails them out kind of situation. So they need to start strong and finish strong. The game should be wrapped up by the fourth quarter, not be decided in the fourth quarter against a team like the Rams. And that is what I'm looking forward to.
Well, it's going to be a great game. And I tell you what, even though we feel like this is a pretty easy win, the Colts can't put their guard down. It should be a great game for Luck to T.Y. Hilton, and we'll get into that in the fantasy football huddle here in just a second as to why they're such a good start. But certainly, you got T.Y. Hilton and Darius Haywood Bay and Andrew Luck is a good opportunity for you to start. All right, Sparky, I know you're going to be downtown tonight. I know you're going to be getting everything ready, tailgating, bringing the fans together, and you and your Super Colts fans have a blast every home game. Guys, Sparky, what's on your agenda? And by the way, Sparky, I know you're getting some national attention. Do you realize, you may not even realize this, I saw you on the NFL Network earlier this week.
I never see that. I don't watch that much. I work 70 hours a week. I don't see that. Someone has to text me next time if they see that. But, yeah, we'll be downtown and we'll be wearing Corey will be wearing a military BDU uniform, and I'll be wearing my Pat Tillman jersey with a hard hat, American flag hard hat, and the rest will be in Colts gear. So you might not recognize us, too, like, really looking at us, take a second look. But, you know, we'll be down there tonight and tomorrow all day, so it'll be fun.
And I know you can always find them down at the Colts Grill downtown, along with the rest of the Super Colts fans. We got to get into fantasy football huddle, and I know that your only thought about fantasy football is Andrew Luck. So, Sparky, real quickly, any final thoughts about the Rams and the Colts as we gear up for our next home game down at Lucas Oil Stadium?
I'll just say this, going back to the Reggie Wayne thing, I actually talked to LeVon Brazil personally. And he said, you know, it's the next man up. You know, he needs to step up now that we got Griff Whalen back. You know, he's going to be in there a lot. But, you know, then, you know, Reggie Wayne is more, you know, he's a mentor to everybody. And I think all these young receivers, I mean, you know, he don't think that just because he's not down there on the field, he's not, you know, he's not participating because, I mean, I'm sure that he is in every which way possible. And, you know, they need to step up, and I really didn't think that these other young receivers are going to step up. And we're going to be seeing a lot of LeBron Brazil and Griff Whalen.
Well, Sparky, we appreciate you joining us. We got to get into some fantasy football huddle. You have a safe drive. I know you drive 4 hours every home game. That's dedication for you. Sparky, super Colts fan. Get down there, get your picture with him, and he'll give you an autograph for $10 an autograph. Hey, at least you're not wearing your incognito jersey, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Good thing we didn't ever draft him. I saw in an international interview Tony Dungy have the opportunity to draft incognito in past. So that's not the kind of culture we want in our locker room. I'm so glad that we have some a classy team and classy fans. Well, most of us anyway, Sparky. You have yourself a good weekend, sir.
You too.
All right. Sparky, Super Colts fan, always joining us before every Colts home game. You can find him down there in costume with the rest of his Super Colts fan guys, getting you ready for a huge game against the St. Louis Rams. Guys, what's week 10? My fantasy football, and Axel and I play in a league together. I'm in a couple other leagues. I'm in a league that's 16 teams deep at work. And then, of course, we've got the Balance Fantasy League right now, which I'm playing our producer this week as well. Axel, you and I are in the league together as well, and you and I played each other last week or the week before. I'm not having a very good year around the board. I'm on my NFL.com one, our league, the Balance League, or the Work League, which is, you know, a pretty deep league in itself. So you look at this, Axel, what are your thoughts about a guy like me not having a very good season? What are some of the plans of action that you would take maybe to make your team better, even if you're not going to make them good?
Well, you got to first be on your lineup every day. Right? Kind of like just at least look at the injury reports and what's coming up and what's going on. And sometimes you play better matchups. I mean, if it's a stud that you have drafted the first two or three rounds, normally you're expected to play them regardless of matchup. But as the year goes on, if your stud doesn't deliver, you should not hesitate to bench him if a lesser player drafted later or acquired through waivers is having a much better matchup. So sometimes you just have to kind of like make this unemotional, cold decision saying that, okay, I'm going to bench Tom Brady and play somebody else. And when Tom Brady's not doing so good in week 5 or 6, if, you know, Gronk is not going to be back and all this stuff. So you got to make the unemotional decision in order to get the most out of your team. Once you do that, you're digging beneath the surface, and that's what differentiates players who played on a casual basis versus players who play it on a more deep basis.
Well, you know, you're talking about replacements and stuff. I mean, one of if you're a fantasy owner, one of the things you want to look out for this week is Mike Brown, wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's replacing Blackman. What are your thoughts in that particular scenario?
Well, if the quarterback is not good, there's no way that you're going to get the ball, no matter what weapons you have around him. I mean, Tennessee's got a porous run defense compared to pass defense. So why bang your head against the – why go weakness versus strength? So take your strength, which is running with Maurice Jones-Drew, versus the Tennessee Titans' weakness, which is run defense or pass defense. So run the rock with Maurice Jones-Drew a lot. Use multiple tight ends. And then Maurice Jones-Drew or the tight ends will basically open things up in the flat, and eventually play action will happen. Then you can take your shots, because at some point, I mean, basically, of course, it's going to get to the point where Jackson will be playing catch-up. So you can save your passing game for then, so but at least kind of start off with a focus on your run game. Do what you do, do it better, and if it matches up well against the weakness of another team, why not keep doing that? So
I'm not pinning my hopes on Mike Brown whatsoever in this because the Tennessee pass defense is much better than their front defense.
Like you said, do what you do so well. All right, well, you know, one of the let's get into our starting and settings while we've got some time here. You know, I have not been a big fan of Eli Manning. I do have him in one of my leagues. I didn't start him this week. I know that Michelle has him. And a lot of other people may have Eli Manning. But this could be a very good week for Eli Manning. Obviously, if you've been struggling with Manning, I can see why you would have some frustration there. But I tell you what, last week the Eagles laid some serious hate down on the Oakland Raiders. So I think this week that will continue to happen to the Raiders. This is a good week for Eli Manning.
I think so too. But I don't think it'll be a 7 touchdown performance, maybe a 3 or 4 touchdown performance, which would still give you good numbers. So, yeah, Eli is a must-start this week. And I'm sure Raiders went back and saw film. And the thing is, I also think they took Nick Foles for granted. So they didn't know what he could do and made an assumption. And all of a sudden here he was shocking them. They won't do that against Eli Manning. They will take him definitely way more seriously. A two-time Super Bowl champion is definitely taken more seriously than a guy who has been riding the bench on and off and then suddenly comes in and throws a freakish 7 touchdowns. So he had the game of his life, no doubt, but then I do think the Raiders took him a bit lightly as well and did not play him like a very good quarterback. So now teams will start taking him seriously, and the results may not be the same way, but Nick Foles is here to stay on the Eagles quarterback.
Right, absolutely, and Michael Vick is done. His days are done, and we talked with Ed Kratz, of the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, at the beginning of the show. I wish we'd had time to get into that. So let's talk about some stardoms, guys. You know, Philip Rivers is back, Axel. Philip Rivers is a must start. You got to look at the emergence of Allen and very good production from Antonio Gates. I tell you what, Philip Rivers is a must-start this week in all fantasy leagues.
Yes, I agree. What I'm not sure is how, the Denver Broncos pass defense, if it's going to show any life or is it going to be, again, dependent on Peyton Manning putting up 35 to 40 points. So I think they learned their lesson after the Colts game. And I saw some glimpses of the Denver Broncos defense stepping it up, though it was against the Redskins. But still, I saw some glimpses. It's like they got, okay, enough is enough. We are tired of just kind of relaxing and just playing with the lead and not forcing the issue. So a lot of questions to be determined. They're coming off a bye week. John Fox is not the head coach. Jack Del Rio is the head coach. And they'll be getting some key players back. Von Miller, it's his third game after the suspension. And Wesley Woodyard, their middle linebacker, who's such a key player, he's going to be back. So from a health point of view, other than Champ Bailey, the Broncos defense is in as good health as you have seen. So I wouldn't expect a lights out play from Philip Rivers. He will still complete a lot of stuff. Philip Rivers' strength right now is basically keeping drives alive. He's not a big play threat, but he keeps drives alive. Every once in a while, they will take shots down the field. But the way they beat the Colts and the Cowboys is by controlling clock, by converting third down after third down, either on the ground or with short, quick dump-off passes. And he's got a very high completion percentage this year because his O-line has kept him upright. So, yes, Philip Rivers is a must-start. But I wouldn't bet the farm on him being the number one or number two quarterback this week. So.
Right, and absolutely. So, you know, in the list of quarterbacks, definitely Guy Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, and we just talked about Nick Foles. Certainly you want to set Matt Ryan with the Falcons, Carson Palmer, and Joe Flacco. I think those are some of your situations. Well, let's talk a little bit about some injuries here. I think you look at over there at the Texans, and you know, you look at how well they played against the Colts. Even though it was a divisional game, and the Texans really, that was kind of a playoff game for them. It was a must-win for them. And, of course, now you look at Tate being hurt now. Dennis Johnson is a good opportunity. Maybe if you're out there looking at the waiver wire and you're looking at say, hey, maybe I want to pick up some sleeper guys for this weekend, Dennis Johnson might be one of those guys.
Yes, Dennis Johnson is definitely one of those guys, knowing that Houston is going to be playing Oakland and Jacksonville twice. It's got pretty good schedule, but then I don't know how long Arian Foster will be out. And the other aspect is Arizona Cardinals. I mean, it is hard to run on them. It is really hard to run on them, but it is much more easier to pass with the wide receivers and tight ends on them. So the Cardinals' run defense has been pretty stout. So, again, so the matchup is not that great. Like, it would be down the road, but then down the road would Dennis Johnson still be hogging the limelight because Arian Foster might be back, Ben Tate might become healthier. So a lot of question marks. Maybe plug in and play this week because he'll be getting the majority of carries, but down the road I'm not so sure if Arian Foster or Ben Tate gets healthier. So.
Right, absolutely. We're talking with Axel's Fantasy Football Huddle. Jared Calhoun out in Washington, D.C. this weekend and couldn't join us. So let's talk a little bit about some of the running backs. In a lot of leagues, ours also, you get a lot of points off the performance of your running back. So certainly we want to talk about who to start in your running back. Chris Johnson with the Titans. This has to be a great week to start him. If you ever put together a matchup made perfectly for a week to get you a lot of points, Chris Johnson this week with the Titans, make sure he's in your lineup.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I'm going against Chris Johnson in one of the leagues, and I kind of dread the fact he might put up 30 points or something on me.
It's going to be a record weekend for him. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I am hoping and praying that Sean Green steals some touchdowns from Chris Johnson, and that way I don't get shellacked just by Chris Johnson this week. So Sean Green has already come back into the fold, and he got a touchdown last week too against the Rams, so he's in the fold. So
right, absolutely. If you guys have Chris Johnson, you don't play him. Or you're playing against Chris Johnson, you're in for a shellacking. Mike James of Tampa Bay, stepping up and really doing a good job out there in the place of Doug Martin there, Axel.
Yes, yes, he's been doing a fantastic job, and he's going on Monday night against Miami Dolphins defense. What is amazing about the Miami Dolphins defense is they've allowed only one passing touchdown this entire year. I would have never seen that coming. I mean, what's his name? I forget. Dimitri Patterson and Brent Grimes, they're outside corners. I mean, those guys play outstanding press coverage, and they went against Marvin Jones and A.J. Green and pretty much shut them down. No passing touchdown there either, and Andy Dalton had one of his worst games of the year. And so basically that's the key. I mean, it's like the good quarterbacks, when they play against a strength, they opt not to go head-to-head against the strength all the time. They will choose to go against the weakness. The Miami weakness is run defense. And the Colts, in their game with Ahmad Bradshaw, we were running fantastic in the first half. We got a 17-3 lead or something in the first half with Ahmad Bradshaw, and then all of a sudden we started passing more and tried to get T.Y. Hilton involved more, and we went against the Miami strength. We didn't know at that time that was one of their strengths, but then once we went away from running, boom, we lost the game against the Miami Dolphins, and it came down to the waning seconds, and Brent Grimes got that interception versus Reggie Wayne. So Miami Dolphins' weakness is run defense, and so you got to start running backs against the Miami Dolphins defense. Who knows? I mean, with all this incognito, all this stuff, I don't know if their heads will be in the game, too.
Absolutely. You talk about distractions. Well, guys, this has to be the last word, and we'll close out with the Colts. Trent Richardson, I think it's going to be a good opportunity to start. We look at all the production that Donald Brown's been doing, but Trent Richardson, even though he's got some ankle issues going on, Mike Chappell with the Indianapolis Stars says he's fully expected to play real quickly because we're about out of time here. Axel, what are your thoughts about Trent Richardson this weekend?
Trent Richardson, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be involved in the passing game as much because the Rams play a good gang-tackling defense, but they have a porous run defense. So if they most likely will have to first address their run defense before being able to double-team T.Y. or anybody. So I'm thinking T.Y. will face a lot of one-on-one coverage, and Trent Richardson, if he doesn't face 8-man boxes, he's been doing good. I still say we need to run more out of 2 and 3 wide receiver formations. 3 wide receiver formations, when you spread them out, Trent has better success running the ball. So I think we should still be aggressive, have 3 wide receivers, and still let Trent rock the boat, and that's how he's going to get his production. And Donald Brown will eat into his carries because of the injury. So that's why it's kind of like he's not going to be a stud by himself because he's going to have to share something with Donald Brown, and that'll eat into his production. So.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to have to do it for Fantasy Football Huddle this week. Chad, Axel, I appreciate you joining us, and we'll catch up with you again this next week. And I hope you have yourself a very good week. And thanks for joining us, sir.
All righty. Thank you, man. You have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Axel, Chad, a.k.a. Axel, joining us on the Fantasy Football Huddle, filling in greatly and nicely for Jared Calhoun, who's down in Washington, D.C. Well, guys, coming to the show where I have to close things out, I have to do my rant. You know, I debate every week about what to do with my rant and how to go with it. We've talked about it throughout the entire show. It's probably no surprise to you that I'm talking about Incognito again on the rant. We're talking about it. Should we be talking about it? Absolutely, we should be talking about it. Anytime you allow a player such as Richie Incognito to be a leader with a team, a professional team, and take all everything off the table there. You look at the things that he's done in bars, just his track record in general. There is a serious, serious, serious flaw inside the NFL. And, you know, that is something that I think that the NFL needs to step up and make an example. Make an example of the Miami Dolphins and Incognito. Incognito needs to be out of the NFL for life. Banned for life. Banned for life. After what he has done, it comes to him. A man like that be banned for life from the NFL. That is that simple. That really sums up my rant, guys. Hope you guys have a good week. We'll catch you next week. Remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool. My name is Al Marquez, El Presidente. You know, you can find us on all of our social media G Balance on Twitter, as well as Facebook, The Balance, search The Balance, and Twitter, T Balance. Guys, I'm out of here. My name is Al Marquez, El Presidente. We'll see you next week. Remember, don't trick and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.